and welcome back to 10 out of 10 We'd Watch Again with Lauren and Lee.
Hello.
This week we have our special guest back in the chair. Lee's back, everybody.
Hello.
So this week we are doing another incredibly important movie to us. You first and then I kind of inherited it.
Yeah.
1999's Fight Club. So obviously Ross isn't here, so I'll hit you with the pish that Ross normally hits you with. So it was released in October 1999. Directed by David Fincher, starring Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, Helena Bonham Carter, Jared Leto, and Meatloaf. Ignore the last two. Budget of $63 million and a box office of $101 million. How much of that was just you, Lee?
Yeah, probably most of it.
So, general overview of the film. Jack meets Tyler and they start a fight club. Mayhem ensues. With twists and turns.
Yeah, that sounds good. So, if you don't want to give spoilers.
I was like trying to save spoilers till like the bit of the twist, but I'm not caring. So why do you love this film? Like, where were you when it came out? What's the crack?
I was, I'd finished art school. I was just travelling around Australia. I think I was in Darwin when it came out. So I was quite happy to go to the cinema. I was looking for something to do that wasn't the crocodiles and nature and stuff. And I'd remembered they had these wee kind of funny, they weren't regular trailers. It was like Edward Norton speaking to the camera about something kind of chaotic, obviously Fight Club related. And I thought, that looks different. It looks a bit interesting. So when I saw it was out in the cinema, I was like, excellent.
Yeah, I'm in.
Then went to see it and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And there's no, I am not having it. If you said you went to see it and you knew what was coming,
yeah,
there's
don't
no
annoy
way,
me.
Man. No
don't
way.
Annoy me.
So yeah, I think I was in Darwin the first time I saw it. And I just fell in love with it. As soon as it starts, like that screaming soundtrack from the Dust Brothers, just absolutely awesome.
So good.
So good, so good. And like it starts off with like David Fincher's beautiful titles, which I know he'd done Aliens 3, but don't count that. Like Seven, like first time I saw Seven, it was just like in Fight Club it's the same thing. It's got these titles that were like nothing else you'd seen before. And then it starts Dust Brothers, Edward Norton in his pants, like what's happening? just so good. Brad Pitt's phenomenal in it. Helena Bonham Carter, just so good. All I had seen her really do before, you know, was kind of like a lot of Merchant Ivory period stuff. I think she'd done maybe some Tim Burton stuff, I can't remember. But like for
starting
her to be
in the shakes, it's starting in the Tim Burton kind of idea.
Yeah, for her to be in it just seemed like, wow, why did they cast her?
Yeah.
But they could not have cast anybody better, man. Like, I don't know if they were thinking about anybody else. I think Reese Witherspoon got mentioned, but I know she is good, but like her as Marla Singer is just phenomenal. I'm getting ahead of the game.
No.
I'm sure talking about characters. But yeah, no, as soon as it starts, like, in Fincher's direction, it's just beautiful. He uses these lovely colours. I thought it was funny. I thought it was such a funny film.
Yeah.
And it just hits you right between the eyes. I think I'd not long, as I say, I think I graduated from art school the year before, so I was kind of feeling that way where, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
And you feel you're a bit lost, and there was something about Fight Club that just kind of grabbed me. I know it's very masculine, but like it grabbed me. It totally grabbed me.
I think that's the thing is like in the 2025 lens that I feel like we've talked about far too much in the recent episodes of the podcast,
yeah.
Right? But like I do feel like now it is a bit like people like the incels are trying to claim it, do you know what I mean? And it's like no,
but
well,
that's because they're ignorant. They don't really see the fuller picture of it. I mean
the
you can,
satire
you
of
can,
it.
You can I think a lot of people took different things from it. And that you can understand why an incel would watch that and see it as a manual.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, or you might have some right wingers kind of watch and go, yeah, man, let's fight, let's do this. But that wasn't the message I took from it.
No,
you know?
And I don't think that's the point of it either. Like, it is a satire, do you know what I mean? It is a, like, holding the mirror up and being like, check state, do you know what I mean? But it's not. Yeah, but like I'm the same as you. Like I love it. I don't see it as anything like that. I just watch it and I'm like, yes. Like it's a joy to watch.
It is a joy
to
watch. It's like, as I say, it's really funny. I think they all brought a lot of humour to the script.
Totally.
I think when they were writing the script, I think they were quite open to like, you know, Norton and Pitt and Fincher like bringing their tuppence worth to it kind of thing. And I think that was really cool. Like Chuck Palahniuk. Who wrote it, I think he was really open, like, you do what you like, and he liked the fact that it changed the ending. He felt it was more kind of like,
totally.
It worked better, you know? And I think, I know you were saying, we've not even spoke about that yet, but like, you know, there was troubles with production and things, but I think the fact that they were allowed to kind of run with it really made it. You're
totally.
Obviously four people just at the top of their game, at the right time, got the right story,
yeah,
and just like brought a lot of humour to it, which is why I really love it. As I said, I know it's quite serious, but it's just, it's so funny. The totally. Script is hilarious.
Yeah.
You see some of the lines that Marla comes out with, or, you know, if I had a tumour, I'd name it Marla. Yeah. I mean, it's so, it's brilliant. It's dark, but it's funny. It's really funny.
Totally, totally. I think right now, in the cinemas, it's Fincher season, so they're being shown like Seven and Fight Club and all this kind of thing. And I think this is a movie, I mean, we've missed it now, but this is a movie I would love to have seen in the cinema. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think I went to see it 17 times when I was in Australia.
Yeah. And people wonder why I'm fanatical about shit. This is who I learn it from. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
I think this is a movie I inherited from you. Like, yeah. This is one that I was aware of before I knew what it was. And, like, because you had, like, the poster up in the bedroom, that poster.
I had the book, I had the screenplay. Yeah. I was obsessed. Yeah, I loved it.
And, like, that poster lasted, like, forever. Do you know what I mean? And, like, I remember, like, you had, like, really cool Fight Club T-shirts and all this kind of stuff. And then I remember when the iPod Shuffle first came out and there was like no screen on it and you just took it and loaded it up with your tunes, and I remember like being in and all you heard was the Brad Pitt like "This Is Your Life" song. Yep. And I was like, what the fuck is this, right? And then I mind it was like a Jedi Padawan moment where you were like, you are ready, and I was like, oh, smashing.
Yeah.
And I remember like going up to your house and we just sat and watched it, and I probably did talk through it late, it's me, but like I just remember sitting there like mouth open like what the fuck, and then when it got to the twist I remember you had to pause it and be like, are you alright? And I was just like, what the fuck is going on, like, for, but it was so, and I do think like, because I was the same as you, like as soon as you showed me it, I think I took your DVD up the road and I watched it, like, and I was like, this movie's amazing, I showed it to everybody and all this, like, it's like when you first, obviously everybody does it, like when you first find this movie you're like, only a certain few people know about this, and it's like, it's a huge movie for a reason, do you know what I mean? But like, of all the movies that I have inherited from you and inherited your passion for it, I'm so glad I've got this one, do you know what I mean?
It's a special one, like, it's different, like, obviously last time I was here we did Highlander, which is, I love Highlander, man, you know, but that's pure entertainment, like, that's, you know, you leave your brain at the door. This one, like, and this one gets better on repeat viewing, obviously, because once you know the twist, you start to pick up all the wee clues. And it is obvious once when you see it for the second time and you start to notice, oh, look, there's Brad Pitt. Oh, look, there he is again. Oh, look, there he is again. And then, like, the more you watch it, you pick up even more. And
it's fun. It adds a bit of fun to the film of, like, did you clock that bit? Did you clock that bit? Like, even last night when I was looking up stuff for useless information, there was, like, bits of that I didn't even know, like, and it, when we watched it again, I was like, Ross, you'll never guess. And he was like, shut up, you just Googled that 10 minutes ago.
No, there is lots of wee bits you notice, like, that it's actually Edward Norton people are acknowledging and not Brad Pitt's character. Or, like, the car crash, it's you know, it gets in the different sides than you think it do. But, yeah, you don't notice that at first, because you're just a lot, because it is a hell of a joyride when you first watch it.
Oh, totally,
you know,
man,
there's
absolutely
so much happens. But, yeah, no, but it definitely gets better. I think it gets better the more you watch it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think the first time you watch it, obviously, you're just getting scalped over the head, do you know what I mean? Like, but in a good way. And is there a good way to get scalped in the head? But, like, and then I think it gets better the more watches, and also, like, you're picking more stuff up and you, like, you even when you can, like, talk through it when you've seen it a couple of times, it's still like we watched it last night and we started off talking through it and then the both of us were like, great, like, do you know what
So we watched it at Christmas time, and if I'm honest, it's been a few years since I've seen it, so I was a wee bit like, I hope this stands up to how good I remember it being, and it did. It was really good, and I was a wee bit, obviously, watching it this time, you're watching it through a different lens, and I was much more aware of, like, it can be toxic, you know, like the whole masculine thing. You've got guys want to be guys and, like, you know, they don't want a woman in the picture, But, like, at the time, and to be honest with you, I still don't really see, I don't think that was what they were doing. It was, you know what I mean? Like, it's just an observation.
And I think as well, sorry, we will actually move on in 5 minutes, but, like, I do think this is a film as well that, like, depending on what age you watch it, it changes as well. Do you know what I mean? Because I remember watching it with you when I was like, I don't know, I must have been about 12 or something, I don't know. And, like, not really picking up a lot, not picking up on the kind of more grown-up things, but just being like, amazing, this movie's great.
I think I think it is a kind of generational mm-hmm. thing. Like, I think they were probably in their early 30s when they made it. I was in my early 20s when I'd seen it. And I knew, like, when I'd said to other people, like, I knew Dad wasn't going to like it. Yeah. It wasn't for his generation. It was for, you know, like, my generation, kind of around about the 30s generation. You were probably definitely still too young to love it, but you loved it for just being a good film.
Yeah, totally. And then, like you say, like, when you watch it again in your early 20s when you've just left college and you've not got a job yet and you're like, yeah, fuck IKEA, do you know what I mean? And then you watch it again in your 30s when you do have the IKEA house and you're like, yeah, you're right, I'm not the contents of my wallet, but the contents of my wallet would be really great right now. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so you pack up different things every time. And I think, like, do you know what I mean? When you're, like, in your early teen years, when you hear Brad Pitt being like, this is your life and it's ending 1 minute at a time, you're like, you're fucking right, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Really, man.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And then now I'm like, oh, okay, son.
I know, totally.
We'll dive into thoughts and opinions, even though we've...
That's pretty much what we've been
talking basically. So, obviously, the film starts with Edward Norton, with Brad Pitt and
starts off in Edward Norton's brain.
Yeah, so it's like the chemicals producing stress, producing sweat, and it's like this kind of CGI thing going through the brain, which, just like Lee said, like the absolute banger Dust Brothers soundtrack. Like, every song in this is class, and it is. If I'm in work and I really need to focus on something, I put on the Fight Club soundtrack. And to other people, that might sound like anxiety, but like, I'm just like head down, like, it's so good. Like,
gets you focused.
Totally, absolutely. Like, every tune's a banger, and like you say, like, hits you right over the head as soon as it starts. And then it's like, people are always asking me if I know Tyler Durden.
And I don't know about you, but I can't think of another soundtrack like that.
No. Absolutely
before
not.
Or after. And I think I don't think they've done any other soundtracks, and I know that, well, obviously that was the first, but it just, for that film, it worked.
Oh, totally. And like there's been other dance soundtracks, but like nothing quite hits like this. Like this year especially, with like the Challenger soundtrack and the Substance soundtrack and stuff. But the Challenger soundtrack's Trent Reznor, so it's going to be good, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't tell Ross I said that, but like, it's going to be good. But like, I think we're getting more into like soundtracks being.
But again, that like comes like their Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. Their first one was for Fincher, wasn't it?
Yes.
Social Network.
Yep. Social Network, then Gone Girl and that. Yeah. Oh, just Fincher. What
I know,
a guy.
I love Fincher.
What I love as well about Fincher, just as a director, like, Fincher is one of the few directors that I'm like, I don't need to know what the movie's about. I just need to know that Fincher's doing it and I'm there. Do you know what I mean? And what I love is, like, he has this beautiful, like, blue tint to everything, but then see when things need to be grimy, it's really grimy. Like, obviously, later on when we go into the house on Paper Street and all that kind of stuff, it's like, you can feel it. You can feel that house, do you know what I mean? Like, all the paint chips are coming off. There's, like, the grease coming up the walls, and you're just like, fuck, living in that, man, do you know what I mean? But he does that even in, like, Seven, like, obviously, where everything is, like, grey and raining, and you really feel that, like, when you watch that movie, you feel cold. Do you know what I mean? And
you
feel...
think it's blue? I thought it was green.
Oh god, this is where we fight. See, people keep telling me my telly's blue tinted, so that's
why.
I never clocked that my telly was blue tinted until other people come up and they're like, what have you done to your telly? I'm like, I don't know, like, I've probably pressed a button and just don't know how to fix it. Like, there you go, it'll be green then. And obviously after that, we head into the montage of the narrator, who we'll just call Jack the now.
Yeah.
And suffering from extreme insomnia, which is an understatement, hates his job. The brilliant IKEA montage that goes into my head every time I'm in IKEA, where it's basically like how to make your apartment perfect, and all these lines of like what dining set defines me as a person and all that kind of stuff. And like, we used to read pornography and now we read the Horchek novels and all that. I'm like, yeah, 40 out of 10. Every time I'm in IKEA, I'm like, what dining set defines me as a person? So he goes to his doctor about insomnia and says, what about narcolepsy? I wake up in strange places and I have no idea how I got there. Foreshadowing, people. Foreshadowing. Jack then starts to go to the group sessions about testicular cancer, where he meets Bob, played by fucking Meatloaf. And this is the only Meatloaf project that I will back, apart from, like, the 4 minutes in Rocky Horror Picture Show. I can't stand Meatloaf.
No, I never liked Meatloaf.
Sorry, Ross. Like, but Bob has bish tits. And basically, Meatloaf has massive tits due to, what is it, testosterone or estrogen, too much steroids. And then basically Jack cries and he's tits. And then he manages to sleep. So he starts going to all these groups. And when he stands at the front and you see the list of the groups, holy shit. And he goes to all of them. So you've got tuberculosis, kidney disease, blood and brain parasites, sickle cell, incest survivor group, melanoma, the lot. And it's like, God, like, that, these are really deep, dark things. Like, fuck that. But obviously, the man's sleeping, do you know what I mean? And then he meets Wargal, Big Marla.
Marla walks in with a fag.
This is the thing,
this is testicular cancer, right?
you damn tourist, I need this, get out. Marla is, I love her so much, but she's not what you need to see as a young, impressionable Wayne, right? Because she makes smoking look so fucking cool.
Apparently, she was, they thought, like, this is going to put her off smoking because she was a smoker. But apparently she went for 2 packs to 3 packs. At the end. I love that.
And I love all the, like, when the smoke's coming out her mouth and all that. Like, obviously there's, like, touches of the CG and all that in there. But, like, it just, she looks so cool. Her hair's up your rat's nest, but in a cool way. She's always, like, there's a bit later on where she's wearing, like, a bridesmaid's dress and a leather jacket. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to look like that.
Yeah,
like,
no, she did. She did look cool in her crazy ratty hair.
Totally, man, totally. And, like, obviously when Jack can't now sleep because there's another tourist in the groups. And when he confronts her about it, she's so chill. She's like, oh, it's cheaper than a movie and there's free coffee, which, like, fair. Cinema's expensive, guys. Do you know what I mean? And they decide to then split the groups amongst themselves. And then, like, they have the funniest argument walking up the street of, like, I want bowel cancer. Like, you can't have both the parasites. And it's like, could you imagine walking by that? And you're like, all right, no bother. Like,
right, okay. Is Marla real? Or is Marla, what? Is Marla another personality? Or is what? Marla real?
Shut
Have
up.
Have you never thought about that?
No. Right, wait a minute. Right, stop everything that we are just... What?
Right, there is... Right, see on that, she just walks across the road. Like, yeah, pure in front of the traffic.
What's the thing? Right? It's like she wants... What is it? She wants to die every day, but the tragedy is that she doesn't. Like, that's the line he says. Right, go, keep going.
There's a couple of theories out there that she's like another personality. If you know what I mean, that's kind of like to save him. But
Holy shit.
I watched it as in Marla's real, and I still watch it as in Marla's real. But there, she could not be real.
See, now I want to go back and watch Fight Club again and try and see if Marla's not real. This is blowing my actual mind. I've never heard that before. Maybe I'm like too down, like some other Fight Club lore. I've never heard that.
You not
before.
Heard that one?
No, that's fucking insane.
Well, I suppose you can kind of make a theory out of anything.
Yeah, but then I suppose though, because you're right, because
they're never in the same room.
Thing, yeah, Marla and Tyler
are never seen in the same room.
And nobody else really speaks to Marla. And, like, even when they're in the restaurant at the end, when he's, like, all clean... No, that puts a kaput in my theory. Because when he goes, clean food only, and your man goes, I suggest the lady. Fuck that. Oh, I was having fun with that there. Sorry, I kaputted the one theory.
That's good, I'm glad you did.
I'm here for that, but I'm going to start looking at that in a whole different way. So then Jack then meets Tyler Durden on the flight. Tyler Durden is sitting there looking class in his sunglasses, which, spoiler alert, are actually blue blocker glasses, which are given to people with insomnia, foreshadowing.
Well done.
And that he's got the really cool fucking red jacket.
They've
and
got the same suitcase.
Yep. And they get to know each other. Tyler tells him that he makes soap from Paper Street, and we get the... Now for the aeroplane etiquette, do I give you the ass or the crutch? Which I have...
I love that line, I use it totally.
But then, like, whenever you're on a plane, you're like, fuck yeah. Like,
our cam is Hindu cow.
Yes! Then when Jack returns home, he finds that his condo has basically blown up, destroying everything in his house, and we get the, how embarrassing, a house full of condiments and no food. Which is, like, always when I look at my fridge at the end of the month, totally. And I'm like, oh fuck, there's only mayonnaise for dinner, guys. Like... He then phones Marla and kind of chickens out of it and calls Tyler instead, and they meet up for a pint. Well, it's not really a pint in America. It's like the pitcher of beer, which I think sounds like my idea of hell, because that would be flat and warm by the end. Like, nobody wants that. You had a pitcher of beer in your trip around
America? I've had lots of pitchers. Imagine quite fast.
That's true. We are of the same vein, but it's like 2 sips and gone. And then Tyler starts hitting him with the things you own end up owning you, like, what's a duvet in the hunter-gatherer sense of the words, and you can see Jack being like, oh yeah, you're freaking right. Then we get, I want you to hit me as hard as you can, which is just, like, every time, like, see when it got to Let's Go for this podcast, I was just like, can I just put in the whole film? Like, honestly, like, this is the first one where I was like, fucking yes! And this and our one, spoiler alert for useless information, before they filmed it, Fincher was at Ted Norton, like, fucking hit him. Actual hit him. Everyone's like, I can't do that, I can't do that. Full on cracks him, and Brad Pitt's reaction's totally real. And then you got back to Edward Norton and he's got this pure smirk on his face and it's like, you dickhead.
Why'd you hit him in the ear, man?
Yeah. So then they start having a scrap in the parking lot, and we find out a bit more about Tyler, that he works different jobs, but generally he's just a menace to society. He works as a night cinema projectionist and splices porn into kids' cartoons, which is like fucking ridiculous, but also made me aware of like cigarette burns. Yeah.
But I don't think they do it anymore because it's all digital now.
I was saying this to Ross last night. I was like, God, such a shame, because after watching this film,
you look out for it.
Yeah, it was like pure thing about it, and then now you don't get them at all. Raging. And then he also works as a banquet waiter where he like pisses in the soup and sneezes on the mushrooms and all this kind of thing.
He does other things. Like
So he's basically just got all these useless night jobs that are just menace to society power, and it's just funny. So they begin fighting outside the bars, and more people start clocking them and then join in the fight clubs. And obviously then it goes to the basement of Lou's Tavern, and we have the iconic Welcome to Fight Club. Yep. First rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. And it just goes through all the rules. And that was another one that I was like, oh, that's another let's go for me. Like, it's so good. Brad Pitt looks so fucking class in this film. Like, every outfit he wears is nuts. Like, he looks great. His body's insane.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Totally jacked.
And he just looks great. Like, the hair looks great. You're like, yeah, I would follow you in a Fight Club.
Yeah, right. Brad Pitt gets out because he is a beautiful man. He looks minging. He looks like he totally needs a good bath. And so do all his clothes. But to be honest, I was quite happy with it. That was my kind of style back in the day. A Hawaiian shirt with a wee kilt.
Love it, love it. So the groups keep getting bigger and bigger. Marla then meets Jack and tells him that she's taking too many pills. Cut to the fastest yet most explicit sex scene you've ever seen. But like, in the nicest way possible, and again, this is a minor slagging in the film, the CGI hasn't held up well at all, but I don't
think it's supposed to be. So it was actually Tyler who meets Marla, not Jack.
That's it, sorry.
So she phones up and he puts the phone over, just lets her chat over, yeah. And then Tyler goes and picks up the phone and then he goes to meet Marla. But that's sexy. But I think it's supposed to be kind of blurry because you don't know who it is, whether it's,
Tyler.
At that time, you're still thinking it's Tyler.
Yeah, totally. Well, this starts off the Tyler and Marla relationship of only shagging, and they cannot be in the same room together. And anytime Marla leaves the room, Tyler shows up and is like, get rid of her.
And Jack's not to mention Tyler.
Yeah. Don't talk to her about me and all that. And it's like, it's kind of funny that, isn't it? But now you've got me thinking about it in a whole different way about Marla not being real. So Jack then starts helping Tyler to make soap for Tyler's company, where they raid liposuction clinics to get fat for their soap. And then Jack says, we were selling rich women their own fat asses back to them. And that is so funny.
Yeah.
But then Tyler then uses lye to give Jack a chemical burn, which is like the grimmest 5 minutes. But it's basically in Tyler's head is to teach Jack to like live in the moment. Don't go to your cave. Don't find your power animal. Just be in the present, which is like, it's a bit extreme, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But then there's a whole movie of extremes. But that's when we get the, like, it's only after we've lost everything, we're free to do anything. Basically, like, all, like, manly men comments of, like, it's fine, we're going to be good, do you know what I mean? Then Jack bumps back into Bob, who's also ditched group therapy to become a member of Fight Club. And then Bob starts hitting out all this mad stuff of like, did you know the founder was born in a mental institution? He sleeps in only an hour and a night. Do you know about Tyler Durden? And this is another thing that makes me laugh throughout the film, is like how ridiculous all of the stories about Tyler Durden become. So it's like he gets facial reconstruction surgery every 3 years. He doesn't sleep, he's building an army, da, da, da. And see, to be honest, by the end of the film, fucking is an army, do you know what I mean? I kind of want Fight Club too, but I also don't, you know. So at the next Fight Club meeting, which this scene always reminds me of you, because I've never sat with anybody who laughs at this bit as much as you do. So Tyler gives everybody a homework assignment where they have to pick a fight with a random stranger and lose. So it's basically a full montage of them starting fights. So you've got them hosing down priests, which I guess that was always your one that used to crack up.
With some music as well. Yeah.
you've got like chasing bike couriers, fighting car salesmen, and then Jack then decides to face off with his boss, and is
he's still been turning up for work, looking messier and messier.
Yeah. So he goes into his work and he's like, listen, I know that this car company is selling dodgy bits. Put me on the payroll as an outside consultant. You'll never see me again. And the boss is like, fuck off, absolutely not. So Jack starts bartering himself and then says, funnily enough, this reminds me of my first fight with Tyler. And it's like, that's so bizarre. But like the first time you watch it, you're like, oh, Randy Bar.
I love that. Just skipping ahead, that is my absolute favourite scene. Totally. It's just incredible.
Yeah, totally.
Like just pure battering himself going through the glass. So good.
100%. And like, yeah, throws himself and then crawls away, crawls up to his boss as the security guys come in and basically just gets given like free airline tickets, money, computers, and that's how they can start Fight Club all day, basically. So all of Tyler's preachings and actions basically build up to the creation of Project Mayhem, which is basically becomes kind of like the cult within a cult, which I only clocked cult last night, but I've seen this movie how many times? Do you know what I mean? And we're members of Fight Club. They start planning major inconveniences, basically. They smash up TV aerials, stage fake government adverts, wipe all the videos in Blockbuster, which, like, that took me right back.
Yeah. That was quite a mean one, though, because that's not really not mean. Ordinary people want a wee video for the night.
And you've ruined my Friday night. I remember that me and Mum used to go on a Saturday night, and it would be like, packet of crisps and a bar of chocolate and go to Blockbusters. Although it was Mum, so it was always something pure depressing, like Angela's Ashes, do you know what I mean? Like, great, we watched this last week. Like, just kidding, Mum. And they, like, lure pigeons to poop on car showrooms, set fire to Apple computers. It's mad. It's just, it's so funny. Then Paper Street basically just becomes a giant compound for Project Mayhem. All the members are now known as Space Monkeys, which, I don't know, aged well or not, that your man who's also in Manhunter, I can't remember his name, he's got a big long name, but basically anything he's in, me and Ross are like, oh, Space Monkey!
So
like,
me too.
And the first Space Monkey was in ER as well. He used to go out with Abby in ER because we were watching that the other day and we're like, oh my God. Basically then Project Mayhem takes everything to larger scale inconveniences. In the compound, they're all like cleaning stuff and it's like, you're not beautiful and unique snowflake and all this kind of thing. Apparently, Chuck Palahniuk, he's basically the one that coined calling people snowflakes. I'm like, oh, so it's fucking you, it ain't me, bother. Like, the large scale events, it's the offices, they paint the big massive smiley face and blow up some of the offices. And the police commissioner's like, nah, this is done. So the Project Mayhem guys become like the banquet waiters and like kidnap them in the toilet. And they're like, the people you're after, the people you depend on, do not fuck with us. But they're obsessed with balls, but I'll save it.
It's a man thing. It's a very man film.
So that maybe that's it. Maybe it just wasn't hitting me right because I don't have any. Do you know what I mean? But I was probably like, my guys, relax. Like, do you know what I mean? So then Jack starts to feel really jealous because Tyler's more concerned with Project Mayhem and the Space Monkeys than he is with him, where he says, I'm Jack's inflamed sense of rejection. And this is the thing that I love as well, is like when they find the books of like, I am Jack's colon, I am Jack's medulla oblongata. And it's like they use that the whole way through, like even when he's talking to his boss and he's like, I am Jack's complete lack of surprise. Yep. It's like, it's so funny. Jack starts to get really paranoid and starts to then take it out on Jared Leto, good, and says he wants to destroy something beautiful and absolutely pummels Jared. Like, pummel is an understatement. Like, he absolutely wrecks Jared Leto's face.
I felt like putting a bullet between the eyes of every panda that wouldn't screw to save its species.
Yeah,
and that's what he just totally kills him, man.
100%. 100%. I mean, fuck Jared Leto. Now that's something we would all want to do.
Yeah.
So they have a row in the car, Tyler and Jack, about Project Mayhem. And Tyler then admits that he blew up Jack's condo and he's trying to get Jack to hit rock bottom.
Jack's fighting it.
Yep. Jack's like, no, no, no. So then Tyler takes his hands off the steering wheel, causing the car to crash and saying, we just had a near-life experience. But this is one as well that I didn't get until later on what sides Jack and Tyler come out of the car. But I'll get to that because I've got a whole fucking section on that. So, pour one out for Meatloaf. Bob is killed during a Project Mayhem mission where they're set to destroy modern art and trash a franchise coffee bar, which is called Graffiti Coffee, because Starbucks were like, we're cool with having a Starbucks cup in every shot, but you're not wrecking Starbucks, so hence why it's called that. Everyone then stands around going, his name is Robert Paulson. And it's like so creepy. But then it carries on. Like anywhere Jack goes after that, he hears people shouting and chanting, his name is Robert Paulson. Tyler then leaves. Tyler went away. Tyler's gone. And Jack goes on a mad goose chase until he gets into a bar, hears the staff in the kitchen, and turns around, and the barman has... What kind of head brace is that? Like, it's...
I don't know, like, is it a broken neck or
something? Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. Like, full broken neck, face is all scarred up.
He's got a scar in his hand.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you were in here last Thursday asking how security was? And Jack's like, who do you think I am? And it's like, you're Tyler Durden. And this is the point in the movie where you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, Jack then goes back to his hotel room and sees Tyler Durden, who's, like, shaved a full baldy. He's got a chip in his tooth. He's got the really cool fur jacket.
Yep.
And this is where Tyler confirms that Jack and Tyler are the same person. And then it shows you like a montage of everything. So like the bit where Jack's passing Tyler the beer bottle and it's like, we should do this again sometime. And the beer bottle
and
smashes.
There, yep.
And then all of the bits where Tyler's been saying that you're not a beautiful and unique snowflake. It's all coming out of Edward Norton's mouth. And like... Do you know that way in a lot of movies that have big twists like this, they're not kind of after the first couple of times you've seen it and you're like, oh, Sixth Sense, I'm looking at you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've not seen Sixth Sense for years, but I'm not really ever bothered about rewatching it. I've seen it a couple of times, although it's fine. But this is a movie where like the twist gets better every time you watch it and you're still like waiting for it. You know, you're still like, oh, come on, give us it, give us it. And it's just insane. And this is where you really feel bad for Marla. Like, Marla gets such a bad trip because, like, Jack phones her up and is like...
Because you click what she's been going through.
Totally. And she's like, you fuck me, you snip me, you love me, you hate me. And then starts calling him Tyler and he's like, what the fuck? And then we're off, basically. And Jack then finds all of the stuff that Tyler Durden's been doing. He is Tyler Durden at this point. So, he tries to hand himself into the police station...
But they're all space monkeys.
Yeah, they're all space monkeys too. And they're like, oh, you said you'd say that. And he's like, I'm not Tyler Durden. You definitely said that. Yeah. So basically, Tyler's plan is to blow up all of the major credit companies so that all of the debt goes to zero and creates total chaos. Funnily enough,
that appealed to me in that time.
Yeah, totally.
Appeals to me now, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I wired in. Then we get quite possibly the maddest fight scene. So like Jack and Tyler are in the basement of one of the credit card companies, and this is where they're really obvious with it, you know, like Tyler's like bouncing back and forwards and they need to trip a wire and it's like, you're in my head and all this kind of thing. And then the fight scene of like in real life, well, say real life, and like we are seeing Tyler and Jack straight up scrapping, but then it cuts to like CCTV where it's like Jack dragging himself backwards.
I think that's so well done. It's kind of creepy.
Yes.
It's kind of, if it was a ghost story, it would like, you know.
Totally. And like throwing himself down the stairs and all this kind of stuff.
That's stuntman, man. That's a cracker.
100%. I hope he got paid well. And then it kind of gets the flashback to the start of the film where it's like, I still can't think of anything. And Jack kind of figures out, okay, the gun's not in your hand, the gun's in my hand. And goes to shoot him, so he puts the gun to his head, and Tyler Durden's like, why would you do that to your own head? And he's like, no, our head, and shoots himself. But the gun kind of ricochets, shatters his jaw, and goes out his ear. But Tyler's like, he's dead, he's disappeared. And this is then when we get the really iconic scene at the very end of the movie where...
They bring Marla up. Space monkeys bring Marla up.
Yep. And they hold hands. And as the credit card companies are blowing up, you get the, you've met me at a very strange time in my life, as the Pixies plays us out.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, man, bravissimo. What a film. Do you know what I mean?
Just fab. First time you see that in the cinema and everybody's just like, what?
Totally.
But you kind of feel triumphant. I don't know why, but I felt triumphant at the same time.
Absolutely. Like, it's not ever a film that you feel like a downer at the end of. No. Do you know what I mean? You're like, cool.
Yeah, it's got. I think like it's got a lot of things to think about. But I just, what a movie!
Yeah,
I'd been thoroughly entertained for like 2.5 hours, just about.
Totally,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, just so good.
And it's never a chore. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. See if anybody suggests putting Fight Club on. I'm like, absolutely. Like, get
totally.
On. Right, we'll dive into Let's Go. So for me, I'm sorry. Like again, I know I said the whole way through thoughts and opinions of like, oh, it should be this, it should be this. It's got to be the Brad Pitt speech, man. It's got to be the rules of Fight Club. Like every time that's on, I'm like, fucking yes.
Yeah.
And I remember like it was a thing like because I showed this to my pal in school. And, like, we had this, like, written at the back of our jotters and all that. It was, like, it was so good. But, again, like, this movie's full of Let's Go moments, so I'm not precious about it, do you know what I mean?
I think I actually, like see it first when he starts going to all the self-help groups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's just so funny. You've got that poor woman who's dying and all she wants is to be laid, you know what I mean? It's dark.
Everybody thank Chloe.
To be honest with you, like, before Brad Pitt... like proper comes into it, I think it's brilliant. I'm Let's Go from as soon as it starts. Like the Jack's character, I've gone to those groups, and it, you know, like she's like, oh, I've got more right to go to testicular cancer than you do. Technically, you've got your balls.
Yeah.
You know? Like from then, I just think it's great, and all the lovely, see, even all the wee background actors and that, like having the wee cuddles and the wee cups of coffee, even the bit where she pours herself a cup of coffee and it's overflowing.
Yeah,
but every wee detail in that film is just spot on. So I am Let's Go from as soon as it starts.
Yeah, totally. I wanted to put the twist as my Let's Go moment because again, like. That's not the point of the film, but the point of the film, do you know what I mean? Like, I wanted that, because that's another one, like, when it gets to the twist, when they're both talking to each other, and they're both kind of sussing out through the montage of, like, what the fuck, and Jack's starting to accept, like, oh, fuck, like, right, yeah. This is happening. But also, like, I think the twist then kind of adds things to every time, because I don't know about you, but every time I'm watching it, I remember you explaining it to me at the time of, like, kind of where Jack's standing shows where he is mentally, kind of thing. So like when he's behind Tyler, it's not, and when he's more to the side, kind of thing. Like, but even like different interactions and stuff, I'm like, who's where? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, so I feel like I spend a lot of my time watching it just being like, no way.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to kind of read into it. Like, as soon as he beats Marla, he's looking for change. He wants to sleep. He just wants to kind of like, you know, have a regular life.
Yeah. Get a bit of peace.
Yeah, and as soon as, I think he's scared of Marla. I think he's intrigued, but he's scared.
She's
and
an so, intimidating bitch.
She is, but like, you know, she kind of shows him up for the loser that he is in a way. Even though she's kind of at the same rock bottom place that he is.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think I'm ready for her to kind of do that to me.
Yeah.
Which is why obviously he invents Tyler in his head, you know what I mean? To kind of like give him a bit of life.
Totally. And I mean, like, Tyler Durden cutting about with his, like, cool jacket and his cool, like, fuck-off attitude. Like, I want to be Tyler Durden.
I know, like, I know. I don't want to read too much into it. It's going to make me not like it.
Yes.
But, you know, like, all the things they stand against, you know, like, advertising, good-looking men, Calvin Klein adverts. That's Tyler Durden.
Brad
Pitt couldn't be any more, like, you know, he does look like he needs a bath.
Yeah.
But, like his 12-pack's got a 12-pack.
Yep.
He looks good. As I say, I liked his funky style, you know, like his fur coat, that red leather jacket.
Totally.
Even though I was veggie, I loved it.
They did a science experiment. It was when Brad Pitt was here doing World War Z, and they did, like, a science experiment on the how symmetrical his face was, and they basically said Brad Pitt's face is, like, 96% perfect, and I'm like, well, fuck you, Brad Pitt, do you know what I mean? Like you say, like, obviously, like, the Calvin Klein adverts and stuff, like, men just look at Brad Pitt and are like, aye, cool, that's, like, the epitome of man. Maybe not anymore with all this stuff coming out.
He's never been my... I've always liked him as an actor.
Yes.
Because I think he's always done interesting things, like, before that, 12 Monkeys, and... you know, he could just have played to his looks.
Totally.
Personally, I think he's a bit of a goofy-looking bugger.
Yeah.
Like, even as Tyler Durden and, like, all the other... And even in Seven...
It's the laugh.
He's got a goofiness about him.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, Edward Norton.
No, what? Totally. Love Edward Norton. What's your favourite scene?
My favourite scene is... So I've either got the one where my friend here likes it in cornflower blue, and he does that weird thing with his mouth, and he's got the blood in his teeth. I like that. And
you
also,
can drink a pint of blood before getting yourself sick. Yeah.
I like the scene where he beats himself up in the office with his boss. I think that's a great scene.
I had between the Jack and Tyler fight at the end where you see him in the CCTV
yeah,
thing.
That is a cracker. It's brutal though.
Totally. Oh no, totally. But like, and then I also just had like the bit of Tyler going to get Marla and yeah. it's like, I called you. Because like obviously in that moment, it's not Brad Pitt, it's Edward Norton just kind of stands and looking cool. So obviously Marla's going to be like, what the fuck, right? No bother. Like when she's only known Edward Norton, Jack, as being like a wee dweeb, do you know what I mean? And he shows up like the pure, like, I think things like that, when you know the twist, is like, oh yeah, man, like 100%.
You do see. But to be honest, even watching it now, though, I still, even though I know the twist there, I still enjoy it.
Yes. Oh no, absolutely, you know what I mean? Absolutely. I think this is a film though, like, you can watch it in as many different ways as you want to. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can watch it as a film. You can watch it reading into the Jack stuff. You can read it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's more. If you want to use it as like a, yeah, fuck advertising, fuck capitalism, yeah. blah, blah. Why then? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I've got a wee section here, and it's all the times that Jack and Tyler are kind of shown to be one, or like hinted at to be one.
Okay.
So if there's any that I miss out that you can think of, let me know.
Okay.
So we've got the four separate cigarette burns of Tyler in the beginning. There's one in the doctor's office when the doctor tells him to go to group. There's one in the photocopying room when he says everything's a copy of a copy of a copy. There's one at the testicular cancer group, and there's one down the alleyway just before he meets Marla. When Jack says, if you wake up at a different time in a different place, could you wake up as a different person? And the camera then lingers on Brad Pitt.
It explains it to you from the beginning, doesn't totally, it?
Totally, totally. Totally. When Jack is talking about not knowing who his father is, Tyler interrupts the story and keeps it going. And then Jack says, that's familiar. And then they basically swap about who's telling the same story, which I was like, I knew, but when it's pointed out, you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. When they're doing Project Mayhem homework assignments and they start smashing up the cars, the car alarm only sounds when Jack hits the car, even though Tyler hit the car first. I was like, oh, bitch. I didn't know that one. And then it was like last night I hit Ross with it and I was like, did you know? He was like, I don't need to bother. When they're on the bus, a man pushes past Tyler without saying a word. But when he hits Edward Norton, he says, excuse me.
Yeah.
When Jack is getting stitches, Tyler says he fell down some stairs. Then Jack repeats it. The doctor then only responds to Jack. We've got when Jack enters Lou's tavern, he's greeted by the barman and Tyler's completely ignored, which it's really subtly done.
It's subtly done, yeah.
He's like standing next to him, so you could like take it as like, oh, he's said hello to them both kind of thing. When the airport valet lends them the car, he says Mr. Durden while looking directly at Jack.
Yeah.
In the car crash scene, this is the one that you had to point out to me, and I think we had to rewind it about four times. In the car crash scene, Tyler is driving the car and Jack is in the passenger seat. Once the car has crashed, Tyler comes out of the passenger side and pulls Jack out of the driver's seat. And I was, do you know what I mean? Trying to get that through my head because it had flipped. I was like, shut the fuck up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when he fights himself in his boss's office, he says, this reminds me of my first time.
Aye, there's loads of wee bits in the script that kind of allude to it.
Totally.
But there'd been, not long before that, a few months, Sixth Sense was out. Do you know what I mean? So there'd been a film with a twist, and you're probably like in your head, you're thinking, ah, I'm not going to, you know, it wasn't.
Totally.
Also, see that, and this is a wee bit of a sideways. I'm pretty sure American Beauty was out about the same time. I thought American Beauty and Fight Club had a similar kind of vibe. I felt American Beauty was like more of a kind of middle age, do you know what I mean? Oh, I need to change something up in my life here. My life's just really boring and I'm not doing anything with it and I'm not living it to its potential.
Yeah.
And, you know? I don't know why. I don't know if anybody else thought that.
No.
I thought that at the time.
Let us know. let us know. Do you know the way about American Beauty? Obviously, like, Kevin Spacey, like, shunned, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's not, but which is annoying because I fucking love Seven. But, like, do you know what I mean? I remember watching American Beauty, not obviously at the time, I was fucking seven when it came out, but, like, later on I went and watched it, and do you know what I mean? I wanted to like it because it was supposed to be one of those movies that, like, it's great, and I just never liked it.
I keep forgetting you're so much younger than me, so you're coming at it from a different point of view, and you have seen it at different times as well. It kind of means different things to you and me,
I remember, though, like, watching it and being like, it was all right, and then going back, and because I remember, like, I must have been you, I told, and I was like, I didn't really like it that much. Like, no, watch again. And like, I remember like really trying to like force myself to like this movie, and I was just like, It's a shit.
It's a lot of films though. Like, I think at that time in 1999, Fight Club, I think, was relevant.
Yeah.
I really do, you know. And at that time, like, American Beauty meant things to people. But I think as a generational film, Fight Club, it's kind of like, you know, it speaks to its generation. The same way as Rebel Without a Cause did.
Yes.
Certain other, you know, films that kind of speak to that teenage angst.
Yeah.
And I would argue that, like, people in their 30s and in the late 90s were like teenagers.
Yeah,
do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, and I kind of thought about that for a while as well. Like, you know how, like, it says, like, we were brought up in front of televisions, like, we didn't have our parents. And I thought, no, people in the 70s and that were brought up like that too. But I think they still got out, whereas we were proper sat in front of the telly.
Yeah, yeah.
You were brought up by televisions, it is true. And so it's almost like you do have to do something physical, like whack yourself in the face to, like, feel something.
Yeah.
You know, rather than living your life through somebody else.
No, totally. And see that bit that you're talking about where he's like, we all watched TV and we thought we were going to be movie stars and rock stars and all that kind of stuff. Like,
but you're not, because you're just sitting there.
Exactly. And I think, you are a creative person. You have a creative job. You have made money off of being a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, me and Ross, like, Ross went to do sound engineering at college. I went to do acting and musical theatre. And we were, like, fucking convinced, like, we're going to be this really cool creative couple and blah, blah, blah. And then it just didn't happen, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, when we were coming up, like, it was, I mean, it's probably the same everywhere, but it's like, oh, do this for free so that we can, you have it as
okay,
experience.
Okay, that's
and
what was going on. Yeah, I still get people go, can you do this? It'll be good for your popularity.
No.
I need to pay my mortgage. That popularity doesn't do that.
Totally. And it's, but I think, like, we got to that point where we were like, no, we want to make money out of this. And we couldn't get anything. So that's why then we went to, like, normal boring jobs. Do you know what I mean? And it is that kind of thing, like, when you watch it and it's like, fuck, man, I could have been doing something, but then I didn't. And, it, like, I mean, that sounds like I'm pure, like, I'm quite happy with my life. But, like, I just mean, like, when you're younger and you I remember in college, our lecturer was like, only 5% of you in this class are going to make it. And yeah. I was like, don't pish.
That's quite optimistic.
Yeah, right? But I was like, don't talk pish. I will be on that stage. I'll be in my films. I'll be doing, no. Like, do you know what I mean? But, stuff like, sorry, I've went on a right fucking tangent.
No,
there,
but
It makes sense, like, and it even does hit, like, because obviously me and Ross are in our 30s now, and it's like when we were watching it last night, it's that kind of, like, it's like you've spent your 20s kind of trying to get into the creative thing and build up to something, and now you're 30, you're like, oh, I need a big boy job to pay for my big boy things, do you know what I mean? It's like,
I do understand what he's saying as well, you know, like, you almost have to kill off your parents so you can be free to do those things.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the way we were brought up, but you kind of go, oh, I don't want to let my parents down.
I don't want
to let those people around me down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Instead of just being free to, like, do what you want.
Totally.
But at the end of it, like, Jack's like, nah, I'm not going down that. That's not what I want. 100%. I don't want that crazy Tyler blown up the world thing. I actually just want a girlfriend. And you know what I mean?
I just want to relax.
Yeah.
Like, we'll blow up these credit card companies and then we'll just go chill. Yep.
I mean, I don't want an IKEA living room, but I don't want to be like, you know.
Here, you're sitting on an IKEA sofa right now. Shut up, right?
Sorry,
I just thought that sofa would define me as a person, you know?
And it does.
Yeah, I'll dive into useless information. I've got so many tangents, so please dive in if there's, like, things that I've fucked up or what. Like, just before I start, I was looking up, obviously, for useless information, and there's so much about Fincher kind of fighting with 20th Century Fox.
Yeah,
like,
but that was because of Aliens 3, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He was like, oh, remember as if we were there. Like, Fincher phoned me, let me know. He wasn't going to make another movie after Alien 3. He was going to go back to music videos.
Well, that was his first. Do you know what I didn't know? He was a cameraman on Return of the Jedi and Temple of Doom.
Amazing.
I'm like, I love that guy. But it's funny as well, like, he done Hunters advertising, then he's making a film, like, that's fully advertising. But I don't think they were making it as a political point, like, you know, like the author had. But, what did you say?
Yeah, no. No, basically, like, he was, like, butting heads with the studios, and there was this, like, one, like, I can't remember her name, but it was one executive, and she just put her foot down at every single block, and, like, he wanted to make, like, Fincher wanted to make anti-consumerism, like, PSAs as, like, the adverts and stuff, and, like, have them as posters, and she was like, no, nobody will come and see the film. So then sold it as, like, a Brad Pitt boxing movie, which is
not what it is. It's not what it is.
As much as the movie's called Fight Club, the point of the movie is not the Fight Club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, they also fought Finch on the casting, which I'll get into in about 5 minutes. The ones they wanted, I was like, absolutely not. Do you know what I mean? They kept arguing with Fincher on the fact that he wanted to lean more into like the satire of the script and not make it just a straightforward, like, because I think the studios wanted it to be like, no, like when you're watching Easy Rider and you're enjoying Easy Rider and then they fucking kill them at the end of Easy Rider and you get annoyed. Yeah. Like, they wanted it to be like a pure morality film of like, no, this must happen because people must know that this is not right. And Fincher was like, fuck off. Like,
yeah,
the book's not like that. Well, this isn't going to be like that.
Yeah, he wanted to buy the story, the screenplay, mm-hmm. and then 20th Century Fox bought it. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, all right then. But he obviously was annoyed with them because of what had happened with Alien 3 kind of thing. But yeah. And he was like, look, we either do this your way and put 20 million into it and make it a bog standard movie, or we do it proper. 100%. Like, give me 50 million and leave me alone.
Yeah, piss off. And like, and do you know what? And just let Fincher cook. Do you
thank
know what
goodness,
I mean?
No, totally.
The author of the book, Chuck Palahniuk, am I pronouncing that right?
I think so.
Chuck Palahniuk, right, that's fine. He came up with the idea after being beaten up on a camping trip. When he went back to work after his weekend, his co-workers would completely ignore his visible cuts and bruises and just ask how his weekend was. Chuck put this down to his co-workers not caring enough about anything personal or to connect on him on a level. This quote-unquote societal blocking out became a fascination of his and was the foundation for the novel, which I was like, that would never be me. I'm a nosy bastard, man. Like, see if people come into work with like a haircut, I'm like, oh, look at you. Like, do you know what I mean?
Like, I was, in fact, after that, it's when we come back from travelling, I'd gone down to visit a friend in London and I walked out a big glass door. Do you remember that at the table?
Yes.
And pure, like, cracked my cheek.
You've
like,
had some cracker black eyes.
I didn't go to the hospital, but I didn't realise until afterwards, like, I broke my cheekbone and all that. But anyway, I had this huge black eye. It was a cracker and it did make me, people got out of my way. Yeah, yeah. But I felt powerful by it. It's like, people were just like, I'm not going near her. It was great.
Who's this maniac?
Totally. I walked into her door.
Did you not do that as well? You were like fixing a shed or something. You
hit
yourself
with a hammer. Exactly
the
same eye. Yeah, that's when I found out that I had cracked it. Yeah.
And you need specs.
Yeah.
Lee in her squinty face.
Yeah.
So the main difference, obviously, the book and the movie, they're,
they end differently.
Yeah, they're similar the way through, but the ending's different. Obviously, in the movie, Jack shoots himself to kill his alter ego, and then him and Marlo stands, blah, blah, blah. We just spoke about that. In the book, Jack wakes up after shooting himself, believing that he is in heaven. He's actually in a mental home, and the hospital staff are all part of Project Mayhem, telling him, don't worry, we'll get Tyler to come back. And that's kind of... And I remember you gave me the book, because me and my mum and dad were away... I think it was the Lake District we went to. And I was just reading Fight Club in the back.
Yeah, a short book, thank goodness.
Totally. Because it was done and we weren't even starting driving back.
It's weirdly written. He's got a really weird style. There's not a lot in it at all. But I like that he liked it. I like that he thought that, Fincher, that's it. That's the ending. That's the way it should... I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But when I've heard him talk, I was a bit put off because he was kind of came from the line of, oh, women have Joy Luck Club and women have this and men don't have everything.
Oh, piss
and that
off,
made me
man.
Kind of feel the way that you hear a lot of kind of wee incelly guys talking. But I actually don't think he is like that. I think he was just wanting to write a guy's book and that was his... You know
I mean, it does give off... I'm not saying it gives off incel. Sorry, big Mr. Palahniuk, I do apologise. I'm not calling you an incel. But... it does give off, like, I can imagine him in the office being, like, the wee dweeby guy of, like, why does no one want to ask me about the bruise on my face? Do you know what I mean? Like, you were probably a dick and nobody wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give him kind of because of Marla.
Yeah.
And the lines that Marla comes out with, as I say, like, you know.
That's literally my next about you information.
A bit.
So
that's exactly what you're going to say. I don't know if you're allowed to say it, but go for
it. Yeah, I'll be fine. If you don't like it, skip ahead 5 seconds, right? So originally, after Marla and Tyler have sex, her original line was, I want to have your abortion. The studio executives objected horrendously to this line and told Fincher to change it. Fincher agreed, as long as they didn't change what he put, hence the line, I haven't been fucked like that since grade school, which they were even more freaked out by. And Fincher was like, nah, you said you would change it, which I'm like, you fucking dickhead, I love it. Tyler's address being Paper Street is also a hint to Tyler not being real. Paper Street is the name given to streets that either haven't been built yet or are being paved over to be built on, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter spent 3 days recording over-the-top sex noises, trying to make the other break and burst out laughing. Apparently, according to the internet, there is bits where you in the sex noises where you hear like a giggle, but yeah. I couldn't hear it. This one I thought was kind of cool. The visible breath in the cave scene was recycled footage from Leo DiCaprio in Titanic, so you can kind of say DiCaprio had a cameo in this film.
All right.
All right, fuck it. I thought I was kind of cool. During the scene where Tyler and Jack smash up cars, they both take great joy in smashing up the Volkswagen Beetle. During rehearsals, Edward Norton and Brad Pitt both agreed on the worst car being the Beetle and insisted on it being in the scene. Brad Pitt personally paid for the car to be on set. During the DVD commentary, Edward Norton explained that the Beetle was one of the primary symbols of 60s youth culture. However, the youth of the 60s had grown up to become the corporate bosses of the 90s, so this repackaging of their youth to be sold on to others that held no meaning for them was appalling. All right, Edward Norton, drop
the sticker. I'm pretty sure in the commentary, though, I'm sure Brad Pitt's came round and he quite likes the Beetle.
Yeah!
I can't like that.
So, do you know what? See, as much as I love Edward Norton and I will always sit down and watch an Edward Norton thing, he does need to take a day off, do you know what I mean?
I know. Like, but a lot of the humour in the film definitely comes from him.
Oh, 100%, because he's dry. Yeah, he's so really dry.
Yep. But, well, I mean, the next movie he directed it, and that was a comedy, Keeping the Faith.
Oh, I've never seen it. Oh, wait, no, is that
Ben
the one?
Ben Stiller and Harvey Darman and Greg.
Yeah, and it's like a rabbi and a... I have seen that. I'm talking shit. I have seen that. The movie before this as well was American History X.
Heavy.
And so he was fucking huge in American History X. So that's how quickly he had to like bulk up to then come down.
He looks ill in Fight Club. Yeah. But he's supposed to look ill, I suppose. He's not he doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
But how's that man alive? Because if he's awake and he's Tyler Durden.
Well, listen, we've seen The Machinist. Well, I don't ever want to watch that film again. Nope. But, like, he doesn't sleep in that and he's fucking nuts, do you know what I mean? So yeah. We'll take it. But also, like, yeah, Edward Norton should be so much skinnier. Yeah, because is it not, like, they say, like, when it's the twist and Jack's like, that's Tyler, oh, you've got all these night jobs. And it's like, no, you've got night jobs because you can't sleep. And he's like, all right, yeah, cool. There was originally a scene where Tyler recites the whole recipe for making bombs, but due to concerns for public safety, this was cut from the film. So this is why they only give, like, oh, you can put sawdust in soap and that'll be a bomb.
Yeah, because like, right. When this film first came out, the internet was just starting, because I remember, like, travelling, and I was given an email address, but I had no idea how to use it. There was maybe a couple of shops like around the world that had computers that you could use. So now, like, you could just look that up.
Yeah.
Make a bomb.
I don't. You'll be put on some fucking dark web register. No.
Very similar to soap, though.
Yeah. So this is Ross's favourite part. This is who was almost in it. So Courtney Love, Winona Ryder and Reese Witherspoon were all originally up for Marla. Sarah Michelle Gellar was also approached but couldn't accept due to her Buffy contract. I don't see it.
Was that at the same time?
Yeah. Season 3 of Buffy.
No. Not season 3.
That's what the internet said.
Seriously?
That's what the internet said. Witherspoon turned down the role due to it being quote-unquote too dark. So Helena Bonham Carter, who was Fincher's choice, was cast. The studio also wanted Russell Crowe to play Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Once again, Russell Crowe, prick. Do you know what I mean?
No, but at that time, Russell Crowe was still good. I mean, you know, come on, Gladiator. No. He was an absolute phenomenon, Gladiator. Romper Stomper. Funny enough, quite a similar film to American History X, you know, big neo-Nazis.
Yeah, there was a right, like, that's another one, like, now, like, a couple of episodes ago, me and Ross were talking about, like, film cycles and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a right wee cycle of, like, neo-Nazi movies in that time. And then there was another one in, like, the mid-2000s as well, so I'm like, let's not bring that back, guys. Also, my final one. Matt Damon, John Cusack and Sean Penn were all up for the role of the narrator slash Jack.
Nah.
None of them.
I don't mind them. Sean Penn, I cannot stand.
I don't like Matt Damon.
Matt Damon is always good, but he doesn't make me want to put on a movie.
You know what I mean? Like, Dad used to always want to watch The Bourne Identity, and I'm like, oh, God.
I know,
like,
and again, they're good movies, and when they're on, I'm like, they're enjoyable.
I need to psych myself up.
I don't know what it is about them. But Edward Norton is just perfect for it.
100%.
I mean, see, like, what the majority of that film is narrated. And the way he recorded it, like, he still sounds smart. I don't know, man. He was good. That was not the height of his game.
Oh, totally, totally. The Cusacks in general, John and Joan, I can't be arsed with either of them, man.
I like John when he was younger, but he, as another actor, never really kind of went to his full potential.
Makes a lot of pish these
days. Oh, he's Channel 5. He wishes.
Yeah. Sci-fi channel at
best. Oh, they're awful, man. It's a Sharknado kind of movies.
Listen, there is a special place in this world for Sharknados. Don't start your pish with me. Have you got any useless information?
Let's see. Yes, I do. I have... right, so no, the names he called himself, like Rupert and...
Cornelius and Travis.
Well, Travis. Right, take Cornelius out of it for a wee second. So they were going to call the... all the names were going to be from Robert De Niro characters.
Class!
In the 70s. But then because of Cornelius, that was Planet of the Apes.
Ah,
so they were
Planet
of the Apes, Robert De Niro, so they just kind of went with both.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think you've pretty much got all the useless... I mean, there's hundreds of useless information.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, see if I'd have went through everything that we had, we'd... This would be like a 4-hour podcast, you know what I mean, of just useless information alone. Like, the making of this movie is so interesting as well. Yeah. Like, this is one of the ones, like, it's not just, like, the film that's good, it's everything surrounding it.
It's how Fincher, I think, put it together. Like, see all see even the fight where he's fighting Jared Leto, like, how he filmed that, like, was so different. You know, like, going round and the fact he's totally... Like, Fincher approached it... It's commercial, but at the same point, it's different. It's independent. I think he was probably using... Because I think he maybe worked for... What's the Lucas company? The Light Magic one, you know, with kind of different techniques and things. How to...
not a clue, but why...
Special effects, that's right, what I'm kind of talking about. Right, so I think Fincher obviously knew all these things and what was out there at that time and used them really well.
Yeah,
because, like, no film looked like a Fincher film.
No. And I even find that now, though, do you know what I mean? Like, when I know, obviously, now he's a lot more HD and he can get anybody he wants kind of thing, but I think you can tell if you were to show the still of a Fincher movie, you would know it's a Fincher movie, do you know what I mean? Like, with the kind of crisp filters and all this kind of stuff. But I think, like, you can tell what directors have been influenced by Fincher on their movies,
I still, Fight Club's my absolute, I mean, it's one of my top films of all time. It's my favourite Fincher film, followed by Seven. I know there's people out there who prefer, like, Social Network, You Love Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
But I always forget that World War Z is a Fincher movie.
Holy shit, is it?
I know. I don't think it's a great film. I've only watched it once.
Yeah, well, you and me went to the cinema.
You know, it's a weird one. Is it Benjamin Button? I always forget that's a Fincher film.
Benjamin Button, I pretend it does not exist, because that was another one you
but that was his. That was his Oscar one, wasn't it? That was when he got, like...
Which I'm like, really? Out of all of them?
Really weird. Really weird.
I think, because you and me have been to see... I think you and me have been to see every Fincher movie that I was old enough to see in the cinema. Yeah. Like, we've seen Social Network, Gone Girl. I forgot all about Benjamin Button. And Social Network is a one, though, like, I do like Social Network. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah.
But to me, loads of people really blow it up as in, like, this is Fincher's masterpiece. I'm like, is it?
Right? It's not mine. It didn't speak to me the same way as, like, Fight Club did.
Yeah.
Again, I know Zodiac's a good film, and it's a good film, but it didn't speak to me the same way.
Yeah, Zodiac was one, do you know, where I started it about 4 or 5 times, and then I think me and Ross only watched it, like, last year the whole way through.
Yeah.
And we were like, no, okay, it is good, but it took us a while. But then I think, I don't know if that's the Fincher film, or if just because, like, you know a lot about, or... You don't know a lot about the Zodiac, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously he was never caught, blah, blah, blah.
I think everybody at Dentity Doobie Fight Club, Fincher, Bonham Carter, Pitt and Norton all knew that this was a film for, you know... Right, so the premiere they had in Venice Film Festival, and nobody got it at all. It was, like, pure crickets, right?
Yeah,
I think, like, Norton and Pitt were sitting chuckling all the way through it because it's funny. Even then, they were like, but this isn't for you.
Yeah.
This isn't for you, middle-class, middle-aged, boring old crowd, you know? And, like, they were ready, I think, to, like, you know, take it on the chin that it probably wasn't going to be a commercial success, because how do you sell a film like that?
Yeah,
you can't really come on and talk about it on chat shows and say, this is about this, and this is because, you know, Fight Club is kind of, it's a misleading title, even though, like, Fight Club is obviously integral, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, the fact that the whole film's, like, its selling point is the twist.
Yep.
But, like, the whole film tells you the twist from the word go, from the fact it starts off in his brain, is really clever.
Yeah, totally.
But, an absolute bugger to sell on it, you know, because you can't just, a film like that, I don't think is going to appeal to people who are just going, oh, I like Brad Pitt. I'm going to see a Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a, Brad Pitt, he had done some interesting things, you know. Norton had done some interesting things. Yeah. So it's totally different.
I think from, obviously, tell me if I'm wrong, but like from what I'd kind of read on it as well, because I was like, if it was initially being sold as like a boxing movie with Brad Pitt, like, did it flop? Did it whatever? And like from what I read, everyone was basically like, no, this was a word of mouth film.
Yeah,
like,
it was
everyone
word of mouth.
Was just like,
I come back. I was traveling with a couple of friends, and I'd gone off on my own. By the time I went back to meet them in Melbourne, I'd probably already seen it about, you know, 14 times.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
We're going to see this film, and we're going to go and see it tomorrow, and we're going to go and see it the next day, and that is that. Merry Christmas. You know, it was just definitely word of mouth. That's the only way I think it really kind of could. So you needed somebody to take a punt on it.
Totally. This is so funny just hearing you talk like that, because Ross slags me for my fanaticism, and I'm like, look, Ross,
no, I listen to you every week and I go, it's my fault. I know. I don't know why, it just kind of made me happy to be a bit obsessed. I went around, as I say, after seeing that film, right? So, but then went to New Zealand, Fiji, America, New York, you know, these places. I went to every second-hand charity shop trying to find a Tyler Durden red leather. I know, because I'm a sad bitch.
Not at all, no. Listen, you travelled the world and you've tried to find your Tyler Durden.
I did. I tried to find a Jean Plaidy book for my nanny Kathy and a red leather Tyler Durden jacket for me, man. I'd have looked terrible in it, but no, I wanted that so bad.
Yeah, man, no, it's been a look. We'll dive into A, because I don't think... I've got one A.
Have you got one A?
I've only got one.
I had to really think hard about it.
So did I, because see, when I watched this movie, I'm just watching it, 100%. All right, probably, I don't know. Mine was just, why are balls always the forfeit? Like,
no, we don't have the same age. Okay.
Like, I just don't get it. Like, when... he says, like, when he tries to get that guy's balls, and that's like their reaction. They're like,
yeah.
And then even when he's like, oh, I'm Tyler Durden, and they put him on the table, and they're like, we gotta get his balls. And it's like, why aren't you just killing him? Why aren't you just, why are you trying to take, like, why is this a big thing? Like, I don't care. Like,
I suppose it's the ultimate threat, isn't it? For a dude,
for your, I take your balls. Like, I don't know. Like, I was just like, when I was watching it, I was just like, surely they could do worse. Like, see, even if they were like, we'll take a finger or we'll take a something.
No,
do
but
you mean
demasculated?
Aye, all right. See, this is the thing. Like, I'm a lady. I don't know. Yeah. what's yours?
Right, okay. As I say, I had to think about it, right? Yeah. But if you were a regular person and you saw somebody punching themselves outside a pub or a club, would you think to yourself, I want to go and join that person?
No.
So if I was to think about it, that would be the moment where I'd be like, I'm out.
Because they're like laughing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then the next week they're all wanting to fight. And the fact, I suppose, if I do think about it, I suppose I'm out right from the beginning.
Yeah.
He's kind of a tosser. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like,
we have flip-flopped on our opinions in the past 8 minutes.
I know, but I put that to bed because But yeah, if I'm out, I suppose if I saw somebody, I'd be like, and also I don't think I'm the type of person to follow people anyway.
No.
So I wouldn't be a monkey. I wouldn't even be Jack. I would be kind of like, Tyler Durden's pretty cool, but I'm not going to follow him like a wee lost puppy.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
I don't think so. Maybe I do. Maybe I'm like that. Maybe that's why it annoys me so much.
I would fucking do that. See, this is the thing. Like, me and Ross have like a running joke. But see, whenever we watch like cult documentaries and all that, Ross is like, that would be you. Because I would, like, they'd be like, doesn't this seem like a great idea? I'd be like,
well, yeah, no problem. Like, to be honest with you, I watch a lot of them myself in the first episode. You're like, that sounds fat.
100%.
And then you go, oh, no, wait a minute.
100%. Like, I always say,
when
like,
it comes to the when it comes to the man having 14 wives and I'm out.
I'll pass. I'm here for the like great mental health and the hypnosis and all that. And the
give
money
me some
stuff.
Smoothies. I'm
I'll take a rapid Sunday bar. Yeah, Ross always says like, I need to watch cult documentaries as like homework to as what not to do. Because like somebody would be like, oh man, we'll just sit and watch films all day. But that sounds great. Cool.
Yeah. Like, it's amazing how like now it would be completely relevant. Now, I mean, you could obviously change it up a bit because it was just people sitting in front of their, you know, their computer screens or their phones or whatever, getting pulled into theories and but I'm glad it was out when it was. I think Chuck Palahniuk, who was obviously ahead of his time, seeing this was going to be, you know.
I agree. I think if it was made now though, because great point. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, right now there's. It's basically known that there's like two sides of the internet. Well, there's more sides of the internet, but you know what I mean? Like, if black and white,
you've got those
two
who love a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and there's those that are like, my guy, do you know what I mean?
Back off. Yeah.
And everyone is so, like, argumentative mm-hmm. online, and it's very much like nobody's going to sit down and have a conversation. Everyone's really ready to butt heads. And I think if this movie was made now, it wouldn't. I don't know if it would have the humour. I don't know if it would have that. I think it would just be very much like, do you know what I mean? Like, does that make any sense?
Yeah. But I think that's the point, isn't it? Like, if you just, like, actually feel something, if you can actually, and that's the whole point of, like, just bringing it down to its basic level, like taking a punch.
Yeah.
You take a punch, you are feeling that.
Yes.
It's, you're feeling something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the problem now with people sitting behind their wee screens and being mean to each other.
Stop being keyboard gangsters.
People are so mean. And it's like, so they don't, you know, there's no actual any emotion or feeling there, is there?
No. We had a DM that said, your podcast is shite, and I just deleted it.
I just deleted it.
It was like one of those like user seven like, what, they didn't even have a real name, didn't even have a picture.
I just don't understand the point.
I just deleted it. I was like, you don't need to listen to it. There's about a million movie podcasts. Like,
exactly.
God love, do you know what I mean? Best kill, worst kill, do you have anything?
There's only two kills in it.
Yeah, I didn't have anything. I'm just like, pour one out for Meatloaf, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I suppose Tyler.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, so I'll put Meatloaf as the worst kill, because when they pull that hat off or the balaclava
off, his brain's at the floor.
But then I kind of want to put Tyler Durden as the worst kill, because, like, see as much, you know, Tyler Durden's a prick. You're like, no, man, hang about. Like, be my imaginary friend.
See, I didn't actually, like, obviously, I never liked Meatloaf's music, but I didn't mind the fact, I thought he was actually very good in it. But then he was on Trump's Apprentice years later.
Uh-huh.
The you know, the celebrity one.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yes, Mr. Trump. No, Mr. Trump. Let me kiss your ass, Mr. Trump.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, oh, Meatloaf, oh, man, I thought you were a rock star. No, I know he's kind of operatic rock star.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But like, every time I watch Fight Club now, I go, oh, you big Trump missing one.
Poor man out for Meatloaf.
Like,
worst guy whose hairline's receding? I just said Jared Leto.
I know, but even, I know something about Jared Leto just gets under your skin, but he's very good in it.
Yeah, no, he is.
Luckily, he's only got a tiny wee part in it, and he gets, you know, his face absolutely pummeled.
Perfect.
It's funny, again, I think it was a making of, and it's funny, it's like they're fighting, and like Norton's got a cool wee pair of Puma trainers on, and he's got like a pair of sandals.
Yeah.
And I was like, aye, you are so Jared Leto.
Yeah,
you deserve your face. And judging you by your terrible footwear.
You are so judgmental. I know.
I know. I am a complete hypocrite, man. It's like, I love this movie, anti-consumerism. And it's like,
your
shoes are terrible.
I don't have anybody who's in a different movie.
Nobody, not a soul. Everybody, all the wee bit
cast
players
perfectly.
In it. Yeah, the guy who plays his boss, anybody who works in the waiter, everybody's just, spot on.
And I don't have an I'm out either. Like,
no, as I said, the only I'm out is like, if you actually think about it, I would You know what I mean? I'd be like, it goes a bit of a weird dose.
Yeah.
She's going to the doctor. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to walk.
Instead of, I'm going to go and join him because I want to punch myself in the face too. You know? But then, as I say, like, I think there's a lot of people out there just now that probably would.
Yeah.
And it's only became more obvious the older I've got, and the more scary stuff you see going on in the world, you think, it's actually not that far-fetched.
Yeah, 100%. That's the thing with movies like this, though. It's like, you can watch it, and then when you actually look about it, you're like, oh no, people are nuts, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like, totally. World's on fire, stick your film on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, grateful.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Are you coming back?
Yes, I'm just sad to be finished talking about it. You know, it took me a minute to get going, but I love it.
I'm not being funny. We could keep going and this would be like a 5-hour podcast, do you know what I mean? We'll need to... Darren, this is my call out to you. We expect you for the Indiana Jones podcast, my man.
For the best film ever.
Daza. Right, guys, as usual, follow us on all our links, on our Instagram, on our Blue Sky. I'm trying to figure out Blue Sky, guys. I'm sorry. I'm a millennial using a brand new app. It's not going well, right? But we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
If this is your first night of Fight Club, you have to fight.